Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department, the world discovered together.
50 years ago, in 1975, NYPD Bomb Squad officer Dennis Mulcahy and his brother Pat, originally from Rockchapel in County Cork, had an idea. And they went about setting up an organisation. Project Children brought over 23,000 children from across Northern Ireland, Catholic and Protestant, to spend summers with host families all across the United States. This was at the height of the Troubles, and the children enjoyed a temporary respite from what was happening at home. And for a lot of them, the impact was lasting. Well, founder Dennis Mulcahy is on the line from upstate New York, and from Belfast, I'm joined by Bernadette McDonald, who went to the US for two summers as a young girl, and by Dr. Colin Cahy, a former intern on Project Children, who's now with the Northern Ireland Human Rights Commission. Good morning to all three of you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Miriam.
Listen, Dennis, bring me back to 50 years ago and the idea of you and your brother, Pat, to bring children over to the US from Northern Ireland. How did you get it up and running?
Well, Miriam, there was so much publicity here in the United States at that time. Again, when you put on the news, again, the major networks out of New York, it was all about Northern Ireland. You know, the troubles on the streets, kids getting hurt, people rioting, and it was quite bad. And we felt we wanted to do something, but again, looking at the situation, there was very, very little you could do. So we came up with this idea that during the marching season in the summertime, that if the kids were out of there and living here in the U.S. with families, it would be much safer for them. However, you know, we realized we would have to put them back. Send them home at the end of the summer, but again, they would have a summer of peace and see what it was like to live without armed conflict.
No, it's a superb idea. I mean, was it easy, Dennis, to find host families who are willing to take the children for the summer?
Well, thanks to people like you, we got a lot of very positive publicity. You know, it was a simple program and it was very doable. Of course, it all went back to fundraising. You know, we could only bring X amount of kids depending on the budget and whatever. So the first year was a little difficult, but 75, there wasn't a lot of money floating around. We worked with mostly middle-income people. Raised enough money and we brought six kids, three Protestant, three Catholic. And that was the whole idea behind the program was, you know, get them out of there for the summer. It was a safety thing. Not that we were trying to change anything because there was very little we could do, we felt. No, but we did make a lot. You know, the program has been amazing. And, of course, the young people that took part in it, you know, the mothers in Northern Ireland that had the courage to allow their kids, 9-year-old kids, going on a plane, traveling 3,000 miles, you know, was amazing. But that would kind of tell you how bad the situation was in Northern Ireland at the time, and the way they looked at it was they were going to be safe for the summer. So it was everybody played a huge part in the program.
Well, fantastic idea. Now, Bernadette, tell me about your two trips to the US. You were very young when you got the offer to go for 6 weeks. And what were your host family like?
The first year I went, I was 9-year-old, and my host family were Pat and Dolores McFay, and they had one child called Catherine. Catherine was a little younger than me. Dolores was originally from Ireland, and they were just fantastic. They just treated me like one of their own. I had my 10th birthday there. Got up in the morning, went out with Catherine, done a bit of gymnastics, come back, made lunch, away swimming, cinema nights. When I first got there was the streets. They were big. They were clean. There was no army on them. It was just a different situation.
And were there things, Bernadette, that seemed exotic and exciting to you as a 9-year-old? I mean, what was the food different, the size of the houses, the toys?
Oh, the house, it was open plan. where our houses were, you just sort of, you had your living room, your kitchen, your bathroom and bedrooms. But this was all open plan. You had a big back garden, front garden. You went to an outdoor swimming pool, which was the best thing ever. I just loved swimming, loved the whole, every day you were away swimming. We went to Chinatown in New York, and even to see like fresh ginger and things out in the street, we didn't have that here.
Were you homesick at all?
I don't think so. I can honestly say the first year, I don't think I was homesick. I had that much to do. There was always something to do. Like there was McDonald's. We did never had McDonald's here. Crispy chicken, croutons. I can remember having a crouton. Didn't know what a crouton was. They were like pickled onion crisps. They were just lovely. I was eating them out of the packet. It was just so different. You were able to walk the streets and you were safe. There was no background noise, if you understand what I mean. There was no background noise, no.
Of course, and that's, of course, what Dennis was trying to achieve. Listen, your dad, Joe McDonald, of course, was in prison at that time. He'd been sentenced to 14 years for possession of a firearm, but he was also on a hunger strike. Did your host family ask you anything about him, Bernadette, I was wondering?
Now, the first year I went, my daddy wrote them a letter and I brought it with me. And he just thanked him for taking me away for the summer, away from the conflict and everything going on. And we laugh about it now. He had sent me a list of shoe sizes to get trainers and jeans to bring home for him and his comrades in jail. And I laugh because I come home with all these Silver Shadow goodies and these Levi jeans, you know. But when I got to America the first year, they already knew my daddy was in prison. So when I went the second year, my brother was meant to go with me, but because of the situation, he didn't go. And my daddy asked me to go. He asked me to go and just tell people what was happening. So when I got there, my family, they wouldn't have asked me questions. I would have told them, or maybe they'd have asked me what was wrong with me or how I was feeling. And I would have always talked, you know.
And your father, Joe McDonald, he was only 30. He died on hunger strike in 1981, obviously the same year that Bobby Sands also died on hunger strike. You were just arriving back from your second summer, I think, in the States, Bernadette. Remind me, tell me how you heard the news.
Well, I actually only stayed in America, I think, for about 8 days. I actually didn't unpack my suitcase because I knew I was going to go home. Very first day I was there, I went out and bought my presents. And every day you just hoped something was going to happen. But I got a phone call just to say that my daddy wanted to see me, and I just knew it was time to come home. So I travelled back to Ireland. It was a girl called Mary brought me back, lovely girl. And my aunt collected me from the airport. We were driving up Kennedy Way, and in them days there was no radios and cars, or you were lucky you had a car even. And we got just up past Kennedy Way and there was a bus burning, and my cousin, she had got out to get something from the shop and said, "Why is the bus burning?" And somebody shouted, "Joe McDonald's dead." So that's how I found out my daddy was dead.
That's such a shocking way for you to hear. Bernadette, what did Project Children mean to you? I mean, that level of trauma in your life, but did Project Children have a big impact on you? Did it help you in any way?
Oh, definitely. I was able to talk to my friends about being across the world, about seeing different things, tasting different things. It just gave me that wee edge that, you know, there's better out there, there's better countries, there's better places to go. Go and learn about everybody else's country and what's happening there. My daughter actually went with Project Children as well. She went, and if I for one didn't think it was safe or didn't think it would have been good, she wouldn't have been going anywhere. It's just that opportunity to see and to mix with different people.
Well, now, Colin, you were older, I think, when you went to the US as an intern. Tell me about your involvement with Project Children.
Yeah, so I went out after I'd graduated from law at Queen's and undertook an internship with a civil rights attorney in Corpus Christi. So Again, was staying with a host family, but a little bit different in that, you know, I was in my early 20s. So we were, you know, they were showing us the sites around Corpus Christi, and we were doing some other activities. But, you know, principally I was there for my internship with the civil rights attorney, where I was attached to attorney called Jim McKibben, who showed me all the different proceedings that they were involved in and let me sit in some proceedings.
And seeing Dennis in action and seeing the Irish community in action in the States, what struck you about their motivation? I mean, did you understand? I know you were still very young, but why Dennis and his brothers and his friends gave so much to this work, so much of themselves to it?
Yeah, I was really lucky. I got to spend the start of my internship as part of a project that Dennis had initiated with Habitat for Humanity. So we were in New Orleans doing some of the rebuilding work after Hurricane Katrina. So got to see very closely, you know, how Dennis operates and the other key coordinators within Project Children. And it was incredible because everybody had their own full-time jobs and their own, you know, responsibilities, but they had devoted a significant amount of their spare time to Project Children. And I was always struck just by how it's, you know, quite a simple action in terms of getting people out of Northern Ireland, getting exposed to America, but has such a big impact. And just the time that people spent and their motivations were really quite inspiring for me at that stage.
And do you think that has lingered? The impact of the internship has lingered, impacted you? And was it important at that time for you that it was a cross-community project?
Yeah, certainly the I had been to Queen's, so different experience from a primary school child in terms of exposure to different communities in Northern Ireland. So that wasn't as much part of it for me. But getting to experience the Irish American community, I had some ideas of what the perspective would be of Irish America. And I must say, you know, from that, all the interactions I had, everyone was completely open and willing to engage with anybody of any background from Northern Ireland, and didn't treat anybody different because of their religion or their political background. I remember just having conversation with people about just, you know, shared humanity being the basis on which everyone was engaging in the process, and just happened to be that everybody had a link to the island of Ireland. So we're trying to do their best to bring about peace and reconciliation on the island.
And Bernadette, your mother Goretti is obviously a remarkable woman. She still works for the community. She is alive and well so long after your dad Joe died on hunger strike.
Yep, mum 75 and still works full time helping in the community. She's just wonderful. She's just our backbone. She is the backbone of our family.
So lovely to hear. Dennis, you live in Greenwood Lake. It sounds absolutely idyllic. I know you've also got a Presidential Distinguished Service Award. Is there a strong Irish element where you live there, Dennis, in Greenwood Lake?
Yes, Mary, very much so. We started also the Greenwood Lake Gaelic Cultural Society. We had to do that, you know, so we could legitimize Project Children and, you know, get tax-exempt numbers, have a board of officers who oversees everything. So the two main things with the Greenwood Lake Gaelic Cultural Society was a soccer program and Project Children. And we funded both of these programs for the past 50 years. And as a result, we have quite an organization. The Gaelic Society, I was the president for 75-76. My daughter Maureen is the president now, 50 years later.
Wow. Do you ever go back to Cork, Dennis?
Yes, we were just back there, actually. What we have been doing, Miriam, is some of the areas that we got a lot of help from, we're going back and thanking them, and we're planting trees. We planted a tree in my hometown, Rockchapel, last week, one in Leitrim, where my wife is from, and a tree in Monaghan, and one in Belfast. Of course, the very first tree we planted was here on Greenwood Lake. We got a piece of property on the lake, and we're going to plant a total of 7 trees. And them trees will be dedicated to families who were involved in starting the program at the very beginning. So we have a lot going on, and of course, next week we're going to be in Monaghan with the opening of the museum. Exciting times. And we have got amazing support from the Monaghan County Council, and of course, my friends in the Garda Síochána. Many, many years ago, I was selected to go to Ireland on the Jerry McCabe Fellowship, where I had an opportunity to work side by side with the Garda Síochána in Dublin. And that friendship has continued, and looking forward to meeting everybody next week.
Well, Dennis, congratulations to you on all of that and on 50 years of Project Children. Thanks to all three of you, to Dennis Mulcahy, Bernadette McDonald and Colin Cahy. And there's going to be, as you said, Dennis, a celebration of 50 years of Project Children and an exhibition in the Monaghan County Museum. There's a big day planned, as you said, for this coming Wednesday. And all the details are on monaghan.ie/museum.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you.